Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is values to live by. And further later on in the show, I'd like to talk more about a gift that Lucis Trust is offering you. And we'll explore it in greater depth later, but I think you'll like it. But in the meantime, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature. And the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear from on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey. And the following thought, by the way, comes from a Lucis Trust pamphlet. Lucis Trust, of course, is the organization that sponsors Inner Sight, our show. The fate of all peoples and nations is determined by the values that govern their decisions. What values are most needed in our society today?
I don't think we know. We've talked many times about the fact that we are said to be moving into a new age, and I think the fact that we are, according to the ageless wisdom, in a transitional era between the old age, the old known world, and the new age, which is unknown and unpredictable, leaves us with a sense of not knowing really where we stand, not sure of ourselves, not sure of our future. This opening thought, though, says that our fate, our future, is governed by the values that govern our decisions. So that ought to be a wake-up call to us, that we should become more clear in our own minds about our values.
I think every day, as every day goes by, we're seeing the old values that still govern a lot of the thinking and a lot of the decision-making, how inadequate they are for the kind of world that is being built today, that is occurring, and because some of those old values that have to do with decisions made out of selfishness are just no longer tenable, and unvalue of these values is pretty obvious, I think, and as more come to light.
Yes, I think we do have a recognition growing that there's an emptiness to things that we have in the past valued. Didn't that really start, say, in the 1960s when there was this enormous sea change in thinking and in direction? Those of us who were young people at that time remember that it was an exciting and exhilarating and maddening and confusing time. Maddening, I suppose, for our elders. Maddening for those of us who were young then and wanted the world to change and change immediately. Maybe that's why people are so afraid of discussing values, for fear that somebody else's values are going to be imposed on them. And I don't suppose any of us wants that.
No, and you see during this election year that more and more of the candidates are speaking out about values, and they never really define what values they mean.
Please define what you mean.
So it's a little uncertain, but there are values that still have to do with...
How about family values?
Family values, sure. And that's usually what they mean when they say values. But there are other values, too, that are more valuable as far as for what the future for humanity is concerned.
Yeah, I think there's a kind of implication of a moral code, meaning what probably having to do with sex most of all, that's implied in values and family values. And really those kinds of things should be decided within the family, I think. The school shouldn't impose them. Religious values shouldn't be imposed in a society where there's a separation of church and state. And yet, as our listeners probably realize, values are deeply spiritual, or we wouldn't be discussing them. And yet, so much of the concern with values today in society is really focused on the material level, even if they don't realize it.
Yes, that's unfortunately why where the greatest emphasis seems to be on the value of material things and the acquiring of material things and but it also points up the limits of the values of those material values too, mm-hmm. because they are very limiting and they create more harm, I think, than good, because the material values tend to create more separateness and more selfishness.
Well, an amazing example to me, was just last night I was reading the National Geographic issue for the month of June on the growing shortage of oil in the world. And the U.S. government, through its tax laws, rewards business owners who purchase the largest SUVs, the ones that guzzle the most gasoline and use up the most of the world's oil supply. They are rewarded with a $100,000 tax credit, perhaps that's the cap on it, for buying the largest SUVs. There's an example of values that aren't completely exhausted, and they have only to do with the material well-being of a few people at the expense of everybody else.
And that's what I mean about the divisiveness and the separativeness and the selfishness of these material values. They serve only very small interest and interested groups, and so they're very, very limited, and they don't expand human consciousness at all. They don't inspire us to move ahead. They inspire certain people to just to make more money, I suppose, and
maintain
sell
their own well-being,
yeah, and their own way of life.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting when we talk about values; they are personal in orientation, because I don't think anybody should impose on anyone else what their values should be. Those are recognitions and choices that come from the soul, from the highest and best self within each of us. So telling somebody else what their values should be doesn't really work. You have to, if you're a teacher or a parent, you have to help a child determine for himself what he values. You can't just inject it into him. But the very concept of value is the decision for what is most important to us. And so by our values, we are displaying for everyone to see what is most important to us. And if we say that money and material things and material objectives, career, material goods are the ultimate value, that says everything about our own understanding and our place on the spiritual path. And yet values are personal in forming, but they have social consequences, and that's really the point I think that we need to consider in this discussion.
And it's what it engenders in the public consciousness. I think the constant emphasis that it comes through the media, through all kinds of the internet, you're constantly bombarded with these the values placed on material things, and the garnering and the acquisition of more material things. And it locks in our consciousness to this material level. And that is not good, because that doesn't allow for any kind of awakening or inspiring expression of anything greater of a spiritual value.
And yet the writings of the Ageless Wisdom say that the beginning of the formulation of finer values starts with the development of taste. Didn't we have a discussion one time on the five senses, taste, touch, smell, hearing, sight?
Yes, we did, yeah.
Yeah. Well, taste is the lower counterpart, according to the Ageless Wisdom, of values. And it has to be transmuted, as all the senses do, into a higher counterpart. Our taste in goods, not just in food, but our taste in culture, our taste in lifestyle, all of that, I suppose, expresses our discrimination, because we're choosing, we're selecting one thing over another, one value over another. That's the start, but only the start, of a discussion of real spiritual values.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today is values to live by. We do have a gift for you today, and I'm sure you'll take advantage of that. It's a nice gift. It may be small in the sense that the gift is in the form of a pamphlet. It's a Lucis Trust pamphlet. And in that particular pamphlet, we go into some of the values that we're exploring during the show. I think we go into it in greater depth. The title of the pamphlet, Values to Live By. And all you have to do is to get that gift is to call Lucis Trust at the following toll-free number. That's 1-866-695-8247. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. So just give us a call and ask for the pamphlet, the title of which, once again, is Values to Live By. And I think what I like about it, too, is that it's short. You don't have to read a book, but it's powerful. There's a lot of, I think it'll impact your consciousness just by reading it. You'll probably read it in one sitting, but I think it'll have a lasting effect on you. Please continue to donate, because that's what we need in order to stay on this radio station, which is a station that we enjoy being on, and many people have expressed their desire to have these shows continue. So please continue to give us your support. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Donations, large or small, are certainly welcome. And also, we have books, cassette tapes. You can archive our library of shows. We have a previously archived library of radio shows that you can key into by just getting in touch with our website, which is www.lucistrust.org. Once again, the phone number for that pamphlet, if you want the gift that we offered you earlier, it's 1-866-695-8247. Sir, you mentioned social consequences that society will have to face due to our values. Can you tell us more about those consequences?
I think we're facing them right now. And what I mean is that if we take just our own society, it's, I think most people would agree, really focused, riveted, we could say, on material well-being and abundance. And that's been, in a way, a great achievement of American society. Not everyone, but many people have benefited from the bounty of this society, but it keeps us riveted on material plane aspects of life, money, home, automobile, and all the trappings that go with material abundance, and that keeps us centered on ourselves. I think there is a direct link between material values and selfishness.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But as it says in this pamphlet that we're offering, there is a way out that in form of spiritual values that allow for a more of expansion of consciousness and actually a freedom from all of that, those material values. What are some of those values that on the spiritual side?
Let's say? Yeah, there are a number of them that are emphasized in our literature, if people care to request it. One is a love of truth, a sense of justice, a spirit of cooperation, a sense of personal responsibility, and serving the common good. I would add to that maybe another value, the urge to share, because that might be the very next step from the abundance that our society has achieved to a concern for the community, the world, letting our abundance be shared and distributed more universally.
Yes, and as you say, we might take a little more time with each one of these. Like a love of truth, essential for a just and inclusive, progressive society.
We shouldn't just take that for granted. I mean, look at the hearings that are underway right now to figure out the cause of September 11th disaster.
That's right, and it's not everybody wants the truth to come out, but as it says, the old cliche, the truth shall set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this fighting for and having a sense of wanting to know the truth that is essential, I think, if one society is to advance, really, in its consciousness.
I think it also is a measure of the courage of a society if there is this commitment to truth. Because sometimes you don't know what the truth will bring, what awareness. Light can be blinding, and revelation of truth can be a shock to a person and to a society. So it takes a certain amount of courage.
And it takes courage to advocate a sense of justice in the world, and we're seeing that also worked out in the the many trials that are going on now, the corporate trials, mm-hmm. and the injustice in the treatment of the prisoners, for example, in Iraq,
right.
And the injustice that is was seen in the genocide tragedies in Sudan recently,
mm-hmm.
and in Rwanda and in Bosnia and so forth, the ethnic cleansing and the World Court, in fact, is now the International Criminal Court is handling these cases, and they're advocating this, and many people are speaking out and for the need for justice
mm-hmm.
in the world, to bring these tyrants to justice. So there is a growing demand in the people of the world for justice.
And I think one of the landmark examples of that was in both Argentina and later in South Africa after dictatorships were overthrown, where there was a period in which people who had suffered bitterly under those dictatorships wanted to have their day in court, so to speak, to confront those who had harmed them and to say what had been done and how it had affected their lives. And that truth and reconciliation experience is enormously important to societies. Rwanda is also trying to go through a similar experience, but it's very difficult for the people still to speak in front of those who had harmed them and who have continued to live among them in their villages. They have been hushed up and intimidated into silence, and that is deadly to the spirit. I was struck recently by watching the initial hearing of Saddam Hussein and some of the other people involved in his government, how they are having their day in court. Justice is being given to them, it looks like the judge, the lawyers are giving them their rights, giving them their opportunity to present their point of view. They're not just being hung in a public square. This is a step forward.
And I think it's important to point out here that the fact that these values, the value of truth and justice, are coming out now in the world, that these are indications of the soul of humanity breaking through human consciousness and working out, because these values originate by way of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
These are soul values, and it's evidence that the soul is beginning to speak more through the consciousness of humanity. That's a very, very important point to bring out, even though I do say so myself.
Well, I agree with you. And we shouldn't also either assume that these values are understood and accepted by everybody. For example, the value of a spirit of cooperation. Anybody who's ever worked in a group of any kind, anybody who's ever been part of an office, knows that there are some people who will cooperate and there are others who simply will not. And those are the ones around whom the rest of the group has to arrange itself. It can be quite illuminating to see the unselfishness, the selfishness and the intransigence of even just one or two people in a larger group and the effect they have. This willingness to cooperate, to adjust and to compromise and to commit yourself to goodwill even though you're not getting your way all the time is kind of a benchmark in the development of the soul, I think.
And yes, the cooperation, which is based on the active goodwill, on the principle of building relationships, and that's another aspect that's working out in the world. We see this through the United Nations every day.
But we don't see it in a policy where one country says, we'll just go our own way.
No, that's just the opposite of mm-hmm. that. That's more being governed by the selfish mm-hmm. Values of selfishness.
Mm-hmm. A sense of personal responsibility. That, I don't know, is that growing in the world? It's the realization, I suppose, as Harry Truman said, that the buck stops with me. That if you're involved in a situation where something needs to be adjusted or put right, if you are aware of it, you have some responsibility simply by your awareness. You may not bear total responsibility, but you are in a position where you can make a difference, and therefore you can't sit on the fence.
And then there is, of course, the serving the common good. Now, that's one that really releases one from the focus on selfish interests, because one has to reach out and extend his concern and his consciousness to other people. One has to look beyond him, his little self, to be concerned for the welfare and the rights and the justice for other people and the rights of other people. And that's looking more for the common good for the whole.
And we shouldn't think that these considerations of values are something new to modern humanity, because the Buddha taught this message 2,500 years ago in his Noble Eightfold Path. The very first step on that path that leads to right happiness begins with right values. Because as he understood and taught, what we desire, what we choose and live for has everything to say about the quality of our life. It began with our opening thought that the fate of all peoples and nations is determined by the values that govern their decisions. What you desire, what you live for, is going to mold and guide the whole direction of your life. So obviously, knowing that, we should start with the youngest children to gradually help them discover an aspiration for the higher and finer and more unselfish path.
Unselfish is perhaps the biggest hurdle we face right now. And as it says in this folder that we're offering, there needs to be, through the sacrifice of selfishness, the sacrifice of selfishness. In other words, giving your selfish motives over to the more all-inclusive values of the soul. And that is very difficult, and I think that's kind of where we are right in the world today.
Alice Bailey made an interesting comment about the discovery of finer values. She said that money and perfect health may be disasters to the soul because they can keep us in our cocoon of satisfaction and comfort. And interestingly, sometimes when we undergo hardship or personal suffering, we find that our values are transformed. I think many people have commented on that. I'm always struck by the people who have had a hurricane or a tornado rip through their neighborhood, and they're left with nothing. And so often they will say, well, at least we have our family, we're alive, we can rebuild. And I am awed by their courage and by their optimism about life. And I think something is liberated in that severe test that any one of us would hope we never have to face. But if we do, money, the loss of money, the loss of home, the loss of all the material aspects of life doesn't mean the end of happiness, doesn't mean the end of meaning.
No, and that may be the great lesson that everybody has to learn, that even though you lose everything material, that you still have your life and you still have a purpose in the world, and it's the soul is still very much alive and active through you, and that's the thing to hold on to, because that's the real spiritual part of you.
Please take advantage of the gift that we're offering you today. Sarah and Dale are offering you a pamphlet that really explores these values a lot further, and I think that it's really worthwhile reading. So give us a call on our toll-free number and ask for Values to Live By. The phone number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. That's the gift that we're offering. If you want that gift, just give us a call. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.